Unit 6, Focus 1, Language Skills. Section 1, Model Passage Reading.
The Trimmed Lamp. Louise and Nancy were good friends. Both were 20, both were pretty. They were country girls who had come to the city to earn their livings. They found rooms in the same boarding dorm, but their jobs were very different. Nancy worked as an attendant in the city's best department store. All day long she stood behind a counter, waiting on rich, well-dressed men and women. The pay was very low, but Nancy didn't care. She loved being among fine things and fine people. Like many working girls of that time, she had an eye out for a rich husband. The store was a perfect place to study the habits of the rich. She studied the clothes the women wore. At night she would copy them, sewing them herself out of whatever cloth she could afford. She listened to their voices and talked the way they did. She watched them walk and walked the way they did. She felt sorry for Louise, who worked in a hand laundry and spent her days over an ironing board. "I wouldn't have your job for anything," she often told Louise. "You have to work too hard." "I don't mind. Be realistic," said Louise. "After all, your pay is hardly comparable with mine. I make twice as much money as you do. I can buy pretty clothes, lots and lots of pretty clothes. I'll find a rich husband twice as fast as you." Louise did buy lots and lots of clothes. Fancy clothes all covered with bright ribbons and bows, hats with feathers, flashy imitation jewellery. Nancy knew better. Louise's way of dressing was not at all compatible with that of the rich. Rich women did not wear fancy clothes all covered with ribbons and bows. It was style that set them apart from working girls, not flash. Louise, she would never learn anything in that steamy laundry. But Louise did have a steady boyfriend. Dan was a white-collar worker, but not rich. He was in fact no richer than the girls, but he was generous and he took Louise out to places where she could show off her pretty clothes. Sometimes he asked Nancy to come along. Nancy enjoyed these outings, but most of the time she had plans of her own. Because of her neat, simple, conservative way of dressing, her low voice, her quiet manners, Nancy was noticed by important women in the store. Sometimes they asked her to dine with them. She often met rich, handsome men at these dinners. At first she was amazed by their fine ways. They were polite and well-dressed. They knew just which wine to order, which fork to use. They used big words when they talked. But all they talked about, Nancy soon discovered, was money. Without exception, they bragged about their huge homes, their huge bank deposits, and their huge cars. Sometimes, before the evening was over, Nancy found herself falling asleep. But she never turned down an invitation. "I'll know the right one when he comes along," she told herself. So she kept her lamp trimmed, adjusted it so it would keep burning in her heart. One night after work, she was surprised to find Dan waiting for her at the back door of the department store. He looked worried. "Where's Louise?" he asked. "She hasn't been home in 3 nights. The landlord said she had moved all her things out. Have you heard from her?" "No," said Nancy. "I've been busy with friends from the store. I didn't know Louise was gone." "Well, she's not at the laundry anymore," said Dan. "One of the girls saw her passing by in a big fancy car. She was all dressed up. Maybe she caught one of those millionaires you two were forever dreaming about." "Oh, Dan, don't say that. Wherever she's gone, I had nothing to do with it." "I'm sorry," said Dan. "Look, I've got a couple of tickets for a show. Would you like to go?" He looked very sad. Nancy smiled at him and took his arm. "Of course I would. I'd be glad to go with you, Dan." 3 months went by before Nancy saw Louise again. She was walking home from work through a quiet little park when a voice called out to her. "Nancy! Louise!" The two were in each other's arms, laughing, asking 1,000 questions. When they stepped apart and looked at each other, Nancy saw that Louise was dressed in satin, lace, and fancy furs. Diamonds shone in her hair and on her wrists and fingers. "You little fool," cried Louise, giving Nancy a hug. "I see you're still working in that humble store, still as shabby and plain as ever. I guess you haven't made that catch yet, have you?" Then Louise looked closely and saw that something better than a rich husband had come into Nancy's life. Her eyes were brighter than all of Louise's diamonds, her cheeks pinker than the roses on Louise's velvet hat. "Yes, I'm still in the store," said Nancy, "but I'm leaving it next week. I've made my catch, Louise, the optimal catch in the world. I'm going to marry Dan, a man with all human merits. You don't mind, do you, oh Louise?" Around the corner strolled a young policeman. He saw a strange sight. On a bench by the fountain sat a sad, rich lady in furs and jewels. She was sobbing as though her heart would break. Bending over her, comforting her, was a shabby working girl in a thin, casual cloth coat. There was nothing he could do to help, thought the young man, strolling on. Some things were beyond his understanding.
New words.
Trim.
Lamp.
Living.
Boarding.
Dorm.
Attendant.
Counter.
Laundry.
Realistic.
Comparable.
Ribbon.
Bow.
Flashy.
Imitation.
Compatible.
Apart.
Flash.
Steamy.
White collar.
Conservative.
Dine.
Fork.
Exception.
Brag.
Deposit.
Invitation.
Landlord.
Satin.
Lace.
Fur.
Diamond.
Wrist.
Humble.
Velvet.
Optimal.
Merit.
Stroll.
Fountain.
Sob.
Casual.
Proper nouns.
Louise.
Nancy.
Dan.
Section 2. Listening and speaking. Listening. 1. Listen to a conversation on the text only once, and then fill in the blanks according to what you've just heard.
Louise, why do you work in that laundry? You have to spend all your days over an ironing board. Be realistic, Nancy. Your pay is hardly comparable with mine. With my money, I can buy a lot of fancy clothes. Your way of dressing was not compatible with the rich. It is style that sets them apart from us, not flash. Okay, okay. I know you often stay with the rich. By the way, do you enjoy dining with them? No, not exactly. Sometimes I even fell asleep before the evening was over. Why? I thought you had a good time. All they talked about was money, without exception. That's boring. But you never turned down any invitation. Well, I must keep my lamp trimmed and keep it burning. Well, wish you good luck then.
2. Listen to a conversation twice and then answer the questions. Hey, Ricky, you've been holding this wall up all night. Go and dance with someone like that baby over there. No way, she's more the intellectual type. My pickup line just won't work. Oh, come on, man. What kind of woman do you like? I want a woman that fulfills my every need, and that baby is not the right type. Hey, where have you been? Times are changing, and you're never going to find a woman that will shine your shoes and fill your beer cup all the time. Wake up. Oh, really? I met a lot of women like that, just not at this party. I prefer women that stay at home, cook, clean, and watch the kids. Okay, but where do you fit into this wonder plan? I mean, what are your household responsibilities once you get home from work? Eat, watch TV, and throw out the trash?
Wait, wait, wait. I can't believe I'm hearing this. You're never going to get married. I recently read a news report saying that 40% of women don't think their husbands do their share around the house, and you seem to fit into that type.
That's interesting, but that doesn't change my point of view. I guess I'll have to settle for TV dinners and my dog Rosie.
I think so. Well, hey, I could use a little intellectual pick-up at this point. I like women who are open-minded and have something interesting to say. Hey, and if I stick with you here, this is going to be a long, lonely night. Say hello to Rosie for me.
Questions. 1. What was Ricky doing at the beginning of the conversation?
2. What kind of women does Ricky like?
3. In addition to eating, what does Ricky feel his household chores include?
4. What can we know about Ricky's views on women?
5. From the conversation, what is the most likely scenario of events for the rest of the evening for Ricky?
Hey, Ricky, you've been holding this wall up all night. Go and dance with someone like that baby over there. No way, she's more the intellectual type. My pickup line just won't work.
Oh, come on, man, what kind of woman do you like?
I want a woman that fulfills my every need, and that baby is not the right type.
Hey, where have you been? Times are changing, and you're never going to find a woman that will shine your shoes and fill your beer cup all the time. Wake up.
Oh, really? I met a lot of women like that, just not at this party. I prefer women that stay at home, cook, clean, and watch the kids.
Okay, but where do you fit into this wonder plan? I mean, what are your household responsibilities once you get home from work?
Eat, watch TV, and throw out the trash?
Wait, wait, wait. I can't believe I'm hearing this. You're never going to get married. I recently read a news report saying that 40% of women don't think their husbands do their share around the house, and you seem to fit into that type.
That's interesting, but that doesn't change my point of view. I guess I'll have to settle for TV dinners and my dog Rosie.
I think so. Well, hey, I could use a little intellectual pick-up at this point. I like women who are open-minded and have something interesting to say. Hey, and if I stick with you here, this is going to be a long, lonely night. Say hello to Rosie for me.
Questions. 1. What was Ricky doing at the beginning of the conversation?
2. What kind of women does Ricky like?
3. In addition to eating, what does Ricky feel his household chores include?
4. What can we know about Ricky's views on women?
5. From the conversation, what is the most likely scenario of events for the rest of the evening for Ricky?
Three. Listen to a passage twice and then decide whether the following statements are true or false.
Love is a feeling. More specifically, it is your affection towards someone or a group of individuals. Different people have different opinions on love, but the dictionary definition of love states that it is a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person or a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection, as for a parent, child, or friend. Some people argue that love doesn't exist because you can't see it. However, I think that this statement is absurd. For instance, the air is there, but you can't see it. Love is something personal, and there's no right or wrong way to describe it. Love can lead people to do selfish things, or the other way around, that it can transform a helpless person into an independent individual who can contribute to society. In general, love is a positive feeling. We need love, for if the world lacks the feeling called love, then we won't be able to appreciate the bright sunshine, the loveliness of the spring, and many other aspects of nature. The society needs love in order to thrive and for the people to feel an uplifting sense instead of feeling pessimistic and sorrowful. Love brings joy and happiness, but more importantly, it enlivens all the living beings. We cannot live without it. Love is a feeling. More specifically, it is your affection towards someone or a group of individuals. Different people have different opinions on love, but the dictionary definition of love states that it is a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person or a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection, as for a parent, child, or friend. Some people argue that love doesn't exist because you can't see it. However, I think that this statement is absurd. For instance, the air is there, but you can't see it. Love is something personal, and there's no right or wrong way to describe it. Love can lead people to do selfish things, or the other way around, that it can transform a helpless person into an independent individual who can contribute to society. In general, love is a positive feeling. We need love, for if the world lacks the feeling called love, then we won't be able to appreciate the bright sunshine, the loveliness of the spring, and many other aspects of nature. The society needs love in order to thrive and for the people to feel an uplifting sense instead of feeling pessimistic and sorrowful. Love brings joy and happiness, but more importantly, it enlivens all the living beings. We cannot live without it.
Speaking. Reference answer.
What are your standards in choosing a life companion?
I assume many people would like their spouses to be young and beautiful, but as far as I'm concerned, inner beauty is more important.
Yes, I understand. As for me, family background is another thing needed to be taken into consideration.
Well, I think I will put more emphasis on character. I would marry someone who is broad-minded and considerate.
Yeah, I guess nobody would like someone who is hot-tempered and rude.
To my mind, a humorous person is attractive. I'd like to marry someone who is humorous and...
And intelligent.
And generous.
And kind-hearted.
Oh, we forgot something most important. I think, first of all, we must find someone who loves us. Focus 2. Language Use. Section 1. Practical Reading.
Taking on. When he was 42, Charlie Benham's job was no more. He didn't take to the idea at all. It all happened so quickly. His boss, Angus Henderson, whom Charlie had not taken to the moment he'd met him, took him aside early one Monday morning and asked him to come to his office, assuring him, as he did so, that it wouldn't take up much of his time. He was right. Henderson asked him to sit down, took up a piece of paper, and proceeded to read from it. The content of the speech was that Charlie would have to go, but of course, if he wished, he could take the matter up with the managing director. In other words, Charlie was being asked to take himself off as quickly as possible. It took several minutes before Charlie could really take in the news. What really made him mad was that Henderson was so taken up with himself that he couldn't even be bothered to thank Charlie for his service over the last 10 years. Charlie was apparently being blamed for the dropping sales of his new product, which he had convinced everyone would soon take off. Returning from the teller, Charlie cleared his desk and went to the lunchroom to enjoy his last cup of coffee there. Colleagues assured him he was lucky. With his free time, they said, Charlie could take up all those hobbies and interests for which he had never had time for. He would soon take to his new life, drawing his pension and enjoying the financial benefits of his lump sum. But Charlie had other ideas. At first, he was so taken aback by the news that he couldn't think straight. Then, all he wanted was to take Henderson by the throat and tell him exactly what he thought of him. But Charlie took after his father, who always looked on the bright side, and slowly he began to take in the possible advantages of his new situation. There was no point, he thought to himself, in taking it out on Henderson. After all, Henderson couldn't help being rude, insensitive, and thoughtless. But on the other hand, other people could be prevented from behaving in the same way. Within the space of about 6 months, Charlie's time was completely taken up with extensive research in order to set up a new agency. He decided to call his new company the Henderson Agency after his former boss, so that it would always be clear in his mind what his aims were and what task he had taken on. The agency was set up, and its consultants offered advice to clients, employers at high-tech companies, about good management. He took out a loan from his local bank to fix up an office, worked out a detailed business plan, which the bank manager was quite taken with, advertised for some staff, and took on 2 of the 50 that applied and set up his business. Within 3 years, he had taken on another 10 staff and taken over a local agency that had failed to make a profit. Many people in the area originally took him for a fool, but they soon found out that he had a faculty for management and was very effective and successful, and it wasn't long before they took back all their critical remarks. Charlie suspected that Henderson had been at the bottom of these lies. Nevertheless, he still continued to take in a large amount of business and was able to set up other agencies in 2 neighboring towns. After 5 years to the day, Charlie found he was earning far more money now than if he had stayed with his old company. He soon began to realize that he was very wealthy. At the same time, he didn't take on airs, and he remained the same person who had lost his job 5 years ago. The following day, Charlie had a chance to show what kind of employer he was. Sitting in front of him was his old boss, Henderson, who had also lost his job. Henderson had taken it upon himself to apply for a job with Charlie. Charlie had this irresistible feeling that he would like to take Henderson down, but he resisted. Then, as he took down Henderson's details, he had a brilliant idea and asked Henderson whether he would like to take on a role in a training video he was making. Henderson took to the idea immediately and agreed to do it. Charlie took out a video disc they had already made from the shelf behind him and showed Henderson the title, How to Manage People. Then, making sure Henderson was taking everything in, he leaned across his desk and said, Now, the one I would like you to be in will be called How Not to Manage People.
New words.
Assure.
Proceed.
Apparently.
Teller.
Hobby.
Pension.
Lump.
Sum.
Advantage.
Insensitive.
Thoughtless.
Behave.
Extensive.
Agency.
Former.
Aim.
Consultant.
Advice.
Client.
High tech.
Loan.
Detailed.
Apply.
Originally.
Faculty.
Critical.
Remark.
Neighboring.
Irresistible.
Brilliant.
Video.
Video disc.
Shelf.
Title.
Proper nouns.
Charlie Banham.
Angus Henderson.